FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today's May 29th, 2018. Well, Italy, you think the U.S. is messed up? Take a good look at Italy and what's happening to the emerging markets due to the renewed vigor of the greenback. And, well, the stock market's down. It doesn't like a strong dollar one bit. Neither does Donald Trump. What is Trump going to do next to suppress the dollar? While you're thinking that over, send me an email. Best part of the day is in the morning when I look through all the emails from you FSN listeners, find out what's on your minds, and get to talk about it. We had something or other we were supposed to talk about a while ago, John, from one of our listeners who sent in an email, but I can't remember what it is right now. So if I find it, we'll go back to it. But in the meantime, John, Italy here, it's getting pretty ugly there, isn't it?
Hey, Gary. Yeah, Italy has been on the short list of catalysts for a global financial crisis for a really long time. I think you and I probably talked about a story similar to this in like 2011, mm-hmm. when the first euro crisis really started to bubble up. Well, now we're back to basically the same place as Italians have been chafing under a German-dominated monetary system for years and years and years because they're just not efficient enough to exist in the same monetary space as Germany.
So it seems.
and so this time around, in the most recent election, they gave the most votes to two formerly fringe parties who are populist and anti-euro and anti-austerity. And those two parties, even though one is of the left and one is of the right, have formed a coalition and are now trying to form a government. But the guy they wanted as the premier, which is sort of like the prime minister in Italy, was vetoed by the president of Italy, who's the guy who gets to decide who really is in the government, who has to sign off on what the parties come up with. And he brought in a former IMF executive to run the country. And now everybody's freaking out because the two parties who basically won the most votes got stiffed. And now they're calling for another election. So there's going to be a snap election in Italy, which will probably solidify the power of these two populist parties. And the financial markets are kind of losing it. Italian bonds are tanking. And remember, Italian bonds have only function because the European Central Bank has been willing to buy so many of them because no private sector buyer would invest in Italy in that way. Their interest rates were lower than America's interest rates until very recently, which is just crazy. You know, would you lend money to Italy for 30 years at a rate lower than what you would lend it to the United States? Of course not. But the European Central Bank was buying all these bonds. Well, now the ECB is not buying those bonds anymore, and they're collapsing. Same thing with Italian stocks. The Italian stock market is falling dramatically because their banking system is effectively bankrupt. They have non-performing loans at a level that would kill a bank that wasn't being propped up by the central bank. So anyhow, this is spreading to the rest of the world because Italy, for instance, leaving the eurozone or having some other kind of existential crisis affects the euro, obviously. And that's sending a lot of terrified capital out of Europe and into the U.S., which is propping up the dollar. The dollar dollar index, which is a measure of the dollar's value versus lots of other currencies of trading partners, was in the 80s a couple of weeks ago. Now it's up into the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
This, in turn, is threatening to blow up a lot of emerging markets where these countries like Mexico and Argentina and Brazil, for some reason, borrowed a bunch of dollars. They somehow got the idea that going short the dollar, which is basically what you're doing when you borrow money. You know, you want it to go down in value after that so you can pay it off more easily. They bet that their currencies would do better going forward than the dollar. And now that's not the case. So that these loans that they took out, which in the aggregate total about $8 trillion right now, are getting harder and harder to repay. So everybody's worried about what's going to happen to emerging market economies. Already, Argentina is collapsing. Venezuela has collapsed. Brazil is in the middle of a big trucker strike, which is paralyzing the economy and making it even harder for them to pay off their debts than it would be otherwise. So the emerging markets, which in turn affect pension funds and banks and hedge funds who own the debts of these countries, which brings it all the way back to the developed world. You know, if our banks or our pension funds or our hedge funds start to blow up, then that affects us here in the U.S. and people in Europe and Asia. So it's metastasizing in a way that crises frequently do, beginning at the periphery and then moving in towards the core and threatening the major economic entities in the world. Where this goes, we don't know. But right now, it's starting out in a very ominous way. And that's why the U.S. stock market is down so far today. When you and I looked before we went live, it was down 400 points on the Dow and falling. So it's clear that everybody's worried about this. And it's also not clear that there's an easy fix, because you've got a lot of moving parts. And if you change one, you get unintended consequences that might make things worse. And so nobody really knows what to do at this point.
Exactly. And this leads to a question, email from Bill. And he first said, no need to apologize. I know you're swamped because I didn't get to this. You know, these questions in the end, nobody really knows. I can already imagine you and John talking back and forth, saying it's likely to be one way. But then again, since no one knows, it could also go the other way. All right. So he wants to know what you're actually doing about it personally. So let me read the question. If we're really going to have an overnight weekend financial reset, whereby the dollar gets revalued down, say 50-80%, and if gold is going to skyrocket and gap up to say 8,000 to 10,000 an ounce, if this is going to happen overnight, then I'm starting to feel that it's worth putting at least half my liquid assets into gold right now. Then there's part two, into gold. Does that mean coins and bullion? That's goldmoney.com solution. But if very few vocal folks are saying that gold will be confiscated again, will there be confiscation, store it in a vault? Where do you store it? And the U.S. requires all citizens to declare global assets, which he does every year. But global assets are only those in financial depositories, like the Miles Franklin solution is Brink's safe deposit box in Canada, One Key safe deposit box, and that presumably requires no financial disclosures to Uncle Sam. So question, what do you do about it? Is it going to happen? All right, first, John, the global reset, one weekend we go to sleep and we wake up Monday morning and our money's worth half or 20% of what it used to be. And then is gold the solution? And how do you play gold for that purpose?
Okay, that's a lot of ground to cover here. So all right, I'll be really brief. We'll do bullet points here.
Yeah, bullet points.
Yes, a global monetary reset is absolutely inevitable, short of a nuclear war or Ebola going airborne or something like that. Something that changes the calculus, or an alien invasion. You know, so it's not 100%
zombie apocalypse. Blocks.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But short of those things, we have no way out of this but to reset the monetary system to get us out from under these debts. We owe hundreds of trillions of dollars.
Is that all?
That can never be reasonably paid back. And the only way historically that countries have gotten out of excessive debts has been either to default on them all and have a monster depression, or to revalue the money in a way that makes those old debts less onerous. And obviously the second choice is a lot less painful. for all concerned, except for people who trusted the government and have all their savings in that currency. So the only response to this, and the problem is we don't know the timing, but it does feel like it's getting closer. It feels like it's always getting closer. And so the only way to set up your finances to be ready for this is to do it now, because you don't know when it's going to happen. They're going to spring it as a surprise, obviously, because if they telegraph it, the markets adjust to it right away. And you have chaos as people try to get out of the currency, and the currency collapses rather than is reset at a place where the government wants it to be reset. So you have to be there ahead of time and and accept that it might be a year, it might be 5 years before it happens. And gold and silver are traditionally ways to protect yourself from something like this. So you want to own gold bullion stored in a variety of places, because no one place is perfectly safe. The safe deposit box you mentioned may or may not have to be reported to the IRS. They're pretty strict about things like that. I know a gold money account has to be reported legally to the IRS. Mm-hmm. A safety deposit box in another country, I'm not sure, but I suspect that the NSA is paying attention to the signals that indicate you're doing something like that. So you can't do it secretly anymore. So it's probably better to report what you own, but then spread it around. So own some at your, you know, keep some at your house, put some in a safe deposit box, put some in a secured vault overseas. That's the bullion side of it. Mining stocks are also traditionally a really good hedge against a currency reset or other kinds of currency crises, because they own gold and silver in the ground, which is a form of storage. And their value goes up in a leveraged manner when the metal goes up in price. Really high quality mining stocks have traditionally been huge winners in times of currency crisis. So that's another thing you can do. And it's not just precious metals, because real assets in general will tend to do well when the currency goes down. All it means is that that piece of real estate that you own or the oil well that you own is now denominated in a currency that is different, but the value of the house or the oil well stays the same. So that means its price in that new currency goes way up. So real assets should form a portfolio for people who are trying to protect themselves against a monetary reset. And that means you want to own a little really well chosen real estate somewhere. You want to own some energy related assets, always the high quality versions of these, though. Don't ever speculate with your core capital. You can take a flyer on a gold explorer, but expect that to fluctuate in value in ways that don't necessarily have anything to do with the monetary situation, because that's an operational question. Do they actually have the gold they say they're going to? Can they get it out of the ground at the right price? If the answer is yes, that stock will go up regardless of what the monetary system is doing at the moment. And if the answer is no, that stock will go down no matter what. So those things are speculations, and they're fun speculations, and some of them can be huge winners. But it's really a separate issue from protecting your capital against a currency crisis. So go for high quality stuff in your core portfolio, real assets, and you'll probably be okay as this plays out. But again, there's no 100% safe and predictable strategy here. So diversification within the realm of real assets is the best way to approach this.
Yeah. And where to put your gold, definitely an issue. There's questions with everything, keeping it in your house, in a safe deposit box, all of the above. Everything it has limitations. So on Financial Survival Network, if you sign up for our mailing list, got a report on gold storage. We have a solution in there that will enable you to store it for free and have 24/7 access to it. And there's, of course, some provisos with that, but just go order it, sign up and get the free reports and you'll know what to do. Totally agree with you. Reset is kind of inevitable, and hopefully mining stocks will be a safe a safe venue for your emergency funds. I wouldn't put everything in there, but a certain portion probably isn't a bad idea. But holding the physical money, the physical metal, physical money, physical metal really is important. Should be part of your overall strategy. So, John, then we look, speaking of the dollar going up, it's disrupting the emerging markets dramatically because they've all borrowed in dollars, effectively doing the big short, bigger than the short on real estate in 2008 that movie was based upon. The dollar short, they didn't even realize they were going short. It just seemed like the right thing to do.
There's a cycle that plays out in emerging markets where a new government comes in and they're pro-business and pro-growth and pro-foreign investment, and they enact initially rules that make their country look really attractive for foreign capital. That allows them to borrow foreign currencies, and they're all wrapped up in their initial success. So they assume that their currency is going to continue to appreciate because everybody seems to want to buy it today. And so they go out and make the mistake of borrowing in foreign currencies. And then as time goes on, they fall prey to the pathologies of emerging markets, which is corruption and the desire to speed the process along by borrowing lots of money and spending it, increasing government spending. And that brings them back to square one, where their inflation rate is rising and there's civil unrest and their currency is starting to fall. And then that causes their foreign currency obligations to blow up. Argentina has done this so many times, and Venezuela and Mexico and Brazil have all done it in the recent past, you know, so they all should have known better than to load up on dollars. And they've got some euro debt, too, which was a problem for them in the past, less so now. Now the dollar is the problem because that's the major fiat currency that happens to be going up right now. And it's not clear what their solution is either, because they were already financially stretched, which is what got them in this trouble in the first place. And now it's getting worse as the dollar goes up, which raises the real cost of some really big debts for these guys. China has something like 100 or I don't remember exactly what it is, but they owe a huge amount denominated in dollars. Mexico and Brazil owe less, but still quite a bit in relation to the size of their economies. So they've got a big problem. And it's not an unusual problem in terms of their history. And in the past, they've had currency crises, they've had revolutions, they've defaulted on their debt. And, you know, it looks like Argentina is not far from that. Venezuela is a basket case. So it could be one of those situations where a domino falls and then another falls and another falls, and we get a region-wide or a sector-wide contagion where everything related to emerging markets, which used to be just a year or two ago, they were the place to be. They become off limits to almost any reasonable investor. So that means that money starts to pour out. The hot money that poured in starts to pour back out, and these guys fall into a crisis. But of course, as I said before, that affects everybody because the global economy is intertwined, and you've got hedge funds and pension funds and in some cases governments that are on the hook for a lot of this stuff. And we can't know ahead of time who is and who is not on the hook. So we don't know who's going to blow up. And that makes people cautious because if there's a chance your pension fund is going to get into trouble, or this hedge fund that you've got money with may or may not have emerging market obligations that they can't handle. The normal reaction to that is to pull back. Take your money out, put it in a super safe place, which is why precious metals and energy assets and supposedly sound currencies tend to go up in situations like this. You get risk off, you get a flight to safety. So everybody piles back into treasury bonds, which they were dumping with enthusiasm 6 months ago. And they pile back into the dollar, which was the weakest currency for a year or so there. And that changes the calculus for a lot of investments out there and changes the risk profile for a lot of institutions. And you can't know until after the fact as Warren Buffett said, who's swimming naked? The tide has to go out.
Until the tide goes out. Leave it to Warren Buffett. Well, what?
But that's kind of the situation that we're in now. We know there's a lot of naked people out there in the water. Well, but we won't know which one is which until the tide goes out.
I guarantee you that Warren Buffett's wearing one of those old-fashioned bathing suits that's like long pants and long sleeves. Remember what they used to look like around the turn of the 20th century? Because you weren't allowed to expose any flesh, male or female. So that's what he's wearing. So he's not going to have to worry about exposure when that tide goes out. But others certainly are going to be caught in various stages of undress, and it ain't going to be pretty. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Value investors tend to wear suits like that.
Yeah.
And then growth stock investors and venture capitalists and private equity guys, they're the ones who tend to be naked in times like this. And so we'll see a lot of them. We'll see a lot of really ugly naked bodies here in the very near future.
Just a question for you, John. Do you ever watch that show, Billions? It's about the hedge fund manager, Damian Lewis, and Paul Giamatti star in it, and Giamatti's the U.S. attorney. It's gotten like totally into a soap opera, but it kind of does capture the attitude of these hedge fund guys. They're not nice people for the most part. They're totally ruthless. They'll take any piece of information, even some that are of questionable legality, to get an edge up in the market. They're really kind of despicable people the way they're portrayed there, and I don't think it's all that unreal.
Well, yeah. Finance and business and banking do seem to attract a lot of sociopaths, but then so does government. And anything that involves power attracts people who like the idea of having unlimited power. So you get people who are highly intelligent, extremely competent, but lack empathy. And so they're
complete lack of empathy.
And so they're writing our laws and they're investing our money and they're deciding which startup in Silicon Valley gets funded and which doesn't. You know, it's just the way of the world. That's jobs. How it works.
Yeah, like at one point they bought up all the bonds for this county and the county defaulted. So they like literally took control of the county and like fired 2/3 of the county workforce. And, you know, like, and then he said, well, we'll fix the schools. We'll make the schools work right. This is justification for this thing. It was absurd. I mean, the world doesn't work the way this show would like you to believe it does. But nonetheless, I think it captures a mindset and an attitude of these masters of the universe that you need to be aware of. And, you know, I don't recommend the show like I would some, but if you could binge watch the first season and then go for the second season, you'd probably skip the third. The third has just gotten absurd. It's turned into a soap opera. You know, this is what happens because, you know, the characters, they have to develop the characters. You know, we've got to get these characters. And then the characters kind of take on a life of their own, and then the show goes down the tubes. It's kind of like Pawn Stars. It was a great show until the stars who are non-actors started to think that they could act and that we actually wanted to know what was on their minds. Then it turned into a horrible thing, and hopefully it'll be off the air shortly. In any event, that's it for this week. Make sure you check out John's site, dollarcollapse.com, and John's prolific writer of his own grammatically correct prose. And on the internet, that isn't always usually or even most of the time the case. It's amazing how many people don't know how to write a paragraph or even a coherent sentence, but yet they become well-read. Go figure. So check out his site. Check out us, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for both of our newsletters, the Twitter feeds at Kerry Lutz, the Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. And like I say, make my day. Send me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. That's it for this week, John. We'll see you next Monday.
See you, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.